Thank you, Mary. Get those boxes going. Well, there was a Bible study group, and they were talking about the end times, and the leader said, if you knew you only had 4 weeks to live, what would you wish? The one man stands up, he says, man, I'd go into my community, I'd preach the gospel, I'd get as many saved as I could. Leader goes, that's tremendous. Lady looks at him and she says, I would do everything I could to serve the Lord. I'd be involved with every community group and church group, and I'd be out there helping people. And he goes, oh, that's wonderful. They look at another guy. Guy says, I'd go spend the 4 weeks in my mother-in-law's house. They look at him and say, your mother-in-law's house? Why would you do that? Well, if I went and spent the 4 weeks in my mother-in-law's house, that'd be the longest 4 weeks of my life. Some of you may have spent some time with some mother-in-laws over the last few days. I don't know, but I know there was Black Friday, and there was a lot of shopping and snow and everything else. Did anybody shop for a mattress on Black Friday? How about, did you go to the MyPillow.com website and get some pillows or geisha sheets? I'm really disappointed in Mike that he's getting the cotton from Egypt. I thought we were all American all the time, you know? So anyhow, but I'll get over it. But isn't it amazing how many mattress companies there are? Every time I turn around, there's a mattress ad. Do you know that? Do you know that there's now over 150 companies that sell mattresses out of a box? Name a few of them, right? Purple, Casper, Nectar, Leisha. I don't know what the other one was. The mattress industry is a $16.5 billion industry, but only the top 10 companies make a significant dent in that industry. Tempur Sealy and Serta Simmons, they're nervous because their sales went down 5% last year. But sleep is pretty important to us Americans, is it not? There's a National Sleep Foundation. And they've just even given new parameters around how much we should sleep based on our age. Newborns, 14 to 17 hours each day. Infants, 12 to 15. Toddlers, 11 to 14. Preschoolers, 10 to 13. School-age children, 9 to 11. Teenagers, 8 to 10, or closer to 20. But anyhow, particularly when they're in class. Younger adults, 18 to 25, 7 to 9. Adults, 25 to 64, 7 to 9. Older adults, 65, 7 to 8, and whenever else you can grab a nap, get it in there, right? Because naps are trending right now. They're trending. They're getting good reviews, good play. People are saying naps are good, and I've never took naps, but boy, they feel a lot better now than Anyhow, improving our sleep has been made a priority by everybody. And in fact, you can go on the web and find out ways to do that. Stick to a sleep schedule, even on weekends. Practice a relaxing bedtime ritual. Exercise daily. Evaluate your bedroom to ensure ideal temperature, sound, and lights. And now that we have a Christmas tree in our bedroom with lights on all the time, I'm struggling here, you know. I feel like I'm being interviewed by the police or something. It's so bright. But anyhow, sleep on a comfortable mattress and pillows. There you go. Beware of hidden sleep stealers like alcohol and caffeine. And turn off electronics before bed. And I probably would add in there, don't watch news before you go to bed either. That doesn't help. The entire culture is always talking about getting sleep. Jesus is always talking about staying awake. What's the deal here? Does Jesus want us to be no-doze Christians? The NIV, the New International Version, has Jesus saying this in verses 42 to 44 of Matthew 24 this morning. He says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. The English Standard Version reads, therefore, stay awake. Amplified says, so be alert, give strict attention, be cautious, active in faith. The Message reads, so stay awake, alert. The word translated keep awake, keep watch, stay awake, be alert, is the same word Jesus used with the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Couldn't you just stay awake for 1 hour, right, while he prayed? They couldn't. They were overcome with sleep. They were asleep at the switch, as we say, were they not? But is Jesus asking us to be sleep-deprived believers? Does he want us to be no-doze Christians? Does he want us to take those five-hour energy shots to stay awake, waiting for his soon return? I don't think he's saying that. So then, what is he saying? Well, let's put his remarks in context in this little passage here that we're looking at this morning. After Jesus told the disciples that the temple would be destroyed and not one brick would be laid, not a brick, but not one stone would be upon another, it'd be just torn down, the disciples say, "When will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus warns them there'll be plenty of wars, there'll be famines, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation, earthquakes, false Christ, false prophets, believers who fall away from the faith, people whose love will grow cold, lawlessness will increase, the abomination of desolation will offer sacrifices in the temple. But even though all these things will happen, don't believe he's already returned. People are going to say that he's back, but he's not. He said he will be like lightning from the east to the west. He's coming back in a flash. So people are saying he's over here, over there. He says, don't listen to that. There'll be great the tribulation and with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD in the temple. Most of the troubles or tribulation will occur by 70 AD when the Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed, but other troubles will occur just before he returns. Jesus tells them, there'll be great signs in the skies immediately after the time of tribulation around 70 AD. And history records that there were many. Josephus, the preeminent Jewish historian who was alive at that time, recorded many signs in the sky from Halley's Comet to other things as well during that time. But in verse 30, Jesus moves from soon destruction of Jerusalem to his second coming, his parousia. After all this has happened in Jerusalem and the temple, then they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great glory. But that doesn't mean immediately. As we know from Peter, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. We confess that every Sunday. And those who don't have faith in him alone for their salvation will mourn their actions, especially those who pierced him. Jesus continues and tells them that these things regarding the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the age of the Jews will come to pass with this generation of his contemporaries that remains on the earth. Jesus told them around 30 AD that this would all happen. A generation is about 40 years. And so it is very conceivable that some hearing Jesus at that time, at 30 AD, would still be around to see the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. So in light of all this information, Jesus advises them and us to not to attempt to determine the day or hour of his second coming, although we want to. We want to get a date on it. We want to get a timeline. Many have tried. Jesus tells them, the disciples, that no one, not even he, knew when he would return or when he will return. Only God the Father knows that. You wonder, how can that be if he was God? Well, the formula of Concord, which we believe, teach, confess, states in the Solid Declaration, Christ, according to his human nature, knows some things and is ignorant of others. And this was one of them. Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. But as a man, he didn't know all things. His glory was restricted somewhat by becoming a man. Paul tells us he emptied himself of his divine privileges and his glory. So only the Father knew when he would return in glory. Jesus wants his disciples to focus on being ready for his soon return, not to have a timeline. That's not what's important. Even though Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed before he returns, he wants them to be ready regardless. And since Jerusalem has been destroyed, there is nothing that has to happen before he returns. We don't have to be raptured before he returns. There doesn't have to be a seven-year period of tribulation before he returns. The Antichrist doesn't have to appear before he returns. A one-world government doesn't have to be established before he returns. A one-world religion doesn't have to be established before he returns. He can come whenever he wants. Jesus tells his disciples, don't make a timeline for when he'll return. He's coming, but not when you think. When you least expect it, he will show up. His return will be just like in Noah's time, when life was normal except for this guy building a big boat and herding animals into it. Those around Noah saw the boat being built but never put it together. Judgment is coming, and judgment came on Jerusalem and on the temple in 70 AD. And as sure as that's going to happen, as sure as that did happen, Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is telling his disciples, don't get caught up in the here and now. He will come when everything seems normal to judge the living and the dead. Expect the unexpected with Jesus. Unprepared people will be taken away to judgment as they were in Noah's day. And because Christ will come when we least expect it, stay awake, be alert. You don't know when he's coming. No one knew he was coming the first time either. He came the first time as a baby, born of a virgin, in a manger, in a little town with a great bakery. Say, a great bakery? What? Bethlehem. Beth house. Rahem in Hebrew, bread. Isn't it interesting that the bread of life was born in a town that was called the house of bread? But many missed that. Many missed that connection. He's called the bread of life in John chapter 6. You see, people missed him. They were looking for a lion. He came as a lamb, and they missed him. They were looking for a warrior. He came as a peacemaker, and they missed him. They were looking for a king. He came as a servant, and they missed him. They were looking for liberation from Rome. He submitted to the Roman stake, and they missed him. They were looking for him to fit into the mold, their mold. He was the mold maker, and they missed him. They were looking for their needs to be met. He came to meet their eternal needs, and they missed him. Today, if you don't know why Jesus came, he came as a lamb to be sacrificed for our sin. Will we miss him? May we not miss him this Advent or ever. May we realize that Advent is a time when we remember he moved into the neighborhood and dwelt among us. He came once and he's coming again. Advent reminds us of the Emmanuel. El in Hebrew is God, and Emmanuel is with us. God with us. May our awareness of his activity in this world be increased this Advent. And may we show others how God is with us in our attitudes and our actions as we attempt to love them as Christ loved us. Pastor Timothy Merrill put it this way. We aren't college students. Jesus isn't telling us to break out the coffee, energy drinks, and no-dos so that we can pull an all-nighter waiting and watching for him. Instead, he's calling us and inviting us to be aware of both the needs all around us and of the presence of the living God to help us offer support to those in need. It is a call to action today. Wake up now instead of tomorrow. Let's not sleep our lives away or sleepwalk on our faith journeys, but instead roll up our sleeves and answer the call to share the hope of God with us. Stay awake. He's coming again soon and very soon. And all God's people said. Thank you. Let us confess our faith together by saying the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.